Today, we're going to talk about the law of the harvest. The way God has designed life in our fallen world is so that we can enjoy life by honoring our Lord and Savior. It has to do with, if you're reading through the book of Galatians, the last half of the book, especially chapters 5 and 6, talk about the importance of growing and enjoying life in the Lord, growing in the fruit of the Spirit rather than in the evil deeds of the flesh that bring you down. Growing out of a desire to love one another and a desire to bear each other's burdens and to sorrows together. So the scriptures we read today from Galatians chapter 6 are meant to be an encouragement as well as godly instruction. So if you aren't already there, let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians, right after 2 Corinthians, and the last chapter, chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 10. And I'll be using the English Standard Version. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And may the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word this morning. We can analyze the scripture passage in terms of the laws of human nature, laws based on the character of God himself. And I'm going to share with you five laws today which together make up the law of the harvest. My prayer is that as we hear these things and as we examine the scripture, that we will all grow today in our ability to sow a healthy harvest and reap the harvest of God's blessing in our lives. So here's the first principle that we need to look to. We must sow in order to reap. That makes sense, doesn't it? In the agricultural world, we call it the principle of involvement. It's implied in verses 7 and 8. You and I have opportunities in our daily lives to follow the ways of our fleshly nature or to obey the promptings of the Spirit of God. But the worst possibility is to do nothing. Don't get involved. Don't think about spiritual values. Don't invest in others' lives for good or for evil. The danger is one of weariness, as it says in verse 9. We need time to rest, to play, to think, to organize our thoughts and even our lives. Those are necessary for us to be the best people we can be and to be as involved as we can be in the lives of others to give them help. But all too often, we burn out from too much unrelenting stress, or perhaps we get burned by relationships which go bad. Either way, we don't want to get involved with anybody. I suspect there are people, in every congregation I've ever been in that have gotten to know people, there have been people who have put it in neutral and just floated along for a while, or maybe for a long time. We can easily become bitter or just withdraw or project blame on lots of people around us. There's lots of ways we can avoid the principle of involvement. But we must sow in order to reap. If we're hurting, we can pull back and rejuvenate ourselves, but then we have to get back on the horse. We have to get back and start riding that horse again. We need to get back into relationships, back into life. I won't try to set the time frame or the steps you must take, but you got to keep a close watch on your heart that you don't lose those opportunities. There's some practical things you can do. Just make sure you're doing really things that restore your spirit. Maybe it's exercise, or maybe it's reading and meditation on the Bible. Maybe it's taking a season of fasting and prayer. I just mean a season. I don't mean 3 months. You know what you meant that. 3 months of fasting could be kind of hard on you. But a time daily of prayer and fasting can really restore your spirit, because the Spirit of God can get a hold of those areas in your life that are keeping you from being involved in the lives of others. We must sow in order to reap. Don't give up. Stay involved. Here's the second principle. We must sow good seed in order to reap a good harvest. This is laid out in verse 7 and expanded in verse 8. It's the principle of causality. If you invest your life in sowing your wild oats, as some people have said, you will definitely, we all know this, right? You will face consequences in your personal relationships, your future marriage, even your children's lives. My choices have lasting impacts on my future relationships. But it's not just about sexual purity. It can refer to anger, to dishonesty, to loose language, to gossip and slander. It may have to do with laziness and slothfulness. All these are seeds we plant in our lives and in the lives of those we know and love. And the effects can be long-reaching and devastating. Don't read past those key words in verse 7. God is not mocked. In straightforward language, you cannot make a fool out of God. You can't get away with sinning in your life as a follower of Jesus and then simply ask forgiveness and expect all the consequences to go away. God will require justice for the sake of his own character, and for the good of his people as well. Thank God there's this promise given in Psalm 103. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That psalm is describing the joy of our salvation and the gift of eternal life. But it doesn't provide a license for us to continue to behave childishly or in an undisciplined manner and not take responsibility for our deeds. In Galatians chapter 5, we saw the fruit of the seeds we sow. Galatians 6:8 puts it this way: the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The corruption, well, it may show up in your thought life or in relationships with your wife, husband, or children. It may show up in broken relationships with friends. It may show up in finances out of order, in many other areas. I don't need to list them all today, but likewise, the eternal life spoken of in verse 8 is a Holy Spirit-filled quality of life, filled with good, healthy relationships and family ties. It's a foretaste of glory divine, and it comes to those who make a point of sowing the right kind of seeds in their own lives and in the lives of those closest to them. And it's important to see that when I sow good seeds, I can sow them in other people's lives with a gentle word or with a caring act of help or support. if we sow good seed, then we can reap a harvest of good in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. That kind of leads us on to the third principle. We will reap in a different season than the one in which we sow. In verses 9 and 10, the apostle becomes more encouraging. So I will too. The third principle we find here is the principle of endurance. We have to hold on, he says. We have to not expect that people will always immediately respond to when we do good for them. It may take a while. And we can't expect that we'll always be able to gain victory over a bad habit in our lives in a few weeks or a few days. Sometimes God takes it away from us in a moment. I've known that in my own life. I've seen that in the lives of my brothers and sisters. But in many other cases, for our good, I believe, God wants us to learn the principle of endurance. And it means that the harvest will come, but it will be reaped in a different season, a different time in our lives than when we sow or when we start sowing. I was raised on a farm in Oregon, so I have some connection to those things of the farm. And a farmer has a lot to do after he plants the seeds in the field. He doesn't just set out the garden, which was one of our big things with seeds. Sometimes we had to plant a new field of raspberries or of blackberries. And so, you know, you plant them, the raspberries. They're about that much above the ground and about that much below the ground. And you just put them in rows. And you just sit and watch them, and they just produce all by themselves, right? No. No. No, no, not at all, Brother Dorr. No, Brad, what do you have to do? We have to, well, in our case, that included putting in posts on the ends of the rows, putting in wire from one end to the other, then putting in more posts because the wire was too long. Some of those fence rows were a quarter mile long, so a lot of berry bushes. And then we had to cut out the weeds continually because, especially when they were little, those things could get overwhelmed by grass growing up. We called it quack grass. I think back here they call it crab grass. And it literally chokes any kind of deciduous fruit out. So we'd go through all those steps. And then 2 years later, if we kept at it, if we fertilized them, don't forget the fertilizer, don't forget plowing around the rows between them, but 2 years later, they start putting on a nice crop of blossoms in the springtime. And then we take those long canes, which by now are in some cases 8 to 10 feet long. And if they're too long, we have to cut them down to where they're only about 6 feet, 7 feet. We had to keep nurturing these plants. But when harvest time came, then we had berries. One picking right after another for about 6 weeks. And that's when the payoff came. We reap, but we reaped in a much different time than when we started planting. Well, so it is the apostle's story. We reap in a different season in our spiritual lives than the one in which we sow. With tree crops, there's all these things we have to do. In Galatians 6:9, sums it up. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Christians want to give up sometimes. Just want to remind you that it takes time and endurance to get to the seasons of reward. Being with Jesus and in his presence, free from sin and sadness and pain, will be worth all the work we have to do here and now. And the reaping will also happen to one degree or another in our present life as well. When we see friends standing firm in trials because we've encouraged them, we've discipled them in the past, that will be the reward of honest satisfaction. We have a friend over in Massachusetts who went to school there, but then moved to Albany, and we got to know her right after we moved. And Linda and Amanda, is her name, became best of friends, even though they were a generation different. That's the daughter we never had. And to this day, when there are problems going on, Amanda gets on the phone, and she stands firm in the trials. And she's been through some really heavy things in terms of sickness, in terms of finances, in terms of, well, losing her job and not being able to handle things. In many areas of her life, it's been because somebody was inputting, was sowing good seeds in her life. And now here it is 15 years later, and the harvest is being reaped in a successful life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep sowing seeds of kindness. Keep on sowing seeds of spiritual discipline in your own life and encouraging others how to live a godly life. It will take time to see through and see the fruit of our labors. We may not even see it at all in this life. That is true. But our endurance will carry us through to reap a good harvest of eternal life. And that leads to the fourth principle. We will reap far more than we sow. Now that's a no-brainer for the farmers, if you want to make that analogy. You put 500 pounds of corn seed in a big field, you're going to expect 505 pounds of corn out? Come on. You're going to expect a whole lot more. Jesus, you remember in his story of the, back then they would sow the seeds by broadcast, just by hand on the soil, and then maybe be able to work it in with sticks. Well, even there on good soil, Jesus said they could expect the increase to be 30 and 50 and 100 fold. That meant that much more than what was planted. We will reap far more than we sow. This is the principle of natural increase. Look again at verse 9. As you look at it, lost my place. In due season, we will reap. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Let me use another statement from the Proverbs to help you with that. Proverbs 22, verse 8. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. It might be a little injustice that turns into a huge calamity. It might be one little thing that you do, one careless word that turns somebody against you, and you reap calamity. That's what he's warning us about. And the rod of his fury will fail. It's bad to practice or encourage or profit from injustice. But the principle of natural increase reminds us there are consequences of sowing injustice. The story is told of a little 4-year-old girl with long, pretty hair who got a hold of a pair of scissors and cut the hair up into various lengths and sections, making quite a mess, okay? It was all different lengths. And when her mother saw her, she said, "Cindy, you've cut your hair. How could you?" And her daughter answered, "How'd you know I cut my hair, Mommy? I carefully hid it all in the garbage under the sink so you wouldn't know." Well, that's how we must look to God, huh? We must think, if I carefully hide the garbage, then God won't know. That won't make any difference. I think if our sins won't cause far more serious consequences sometimes than anything we could have anticipated. Fortunately for us, God's law of the harvest also promises blessings and grace. If we practice godly living and disciplined character and loving concern for others, the Lord God promises that love and purity of heart will become more evident in our lives, and others will be encouraged and blessed by our lives. So let's listen to Jesus' words carefully from Matthew chapter 19. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Everything we invest from our lives, our talents, our caring and sharing will be rewarded. That's God's promise through Jesus. Rewarded far more than we could ever anticipate. That's the principle of natural increase. The final principle is the principle of diligence. We must be diligent and consistent to reap a good harvest. And I've already talked about that in the farmer's case, my raspberry farmer days. But let's listen to verse 10 in particular. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Farmers love to take time after the harvest, or at least they did when I was growing up, to play checkers or cards with their friends, especially in these northeastern and New England winters, or at least they used to be like that. They'd get around the hot stove at the general store, and they'd play checkers, or they'd play cards with their friends. But until the harvest comes, there has to be diligence in observing the crop, paying attention to how it's doing, noting threats from insects and pestilence, taking corrective action. If the farmer had livestock, as the proverb says very well, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Pay attention. Be diligent. When we apply our diligence to doing good to other people, it's as if we were sowing more seeds of blessing in their fields. When the opportunity arises to help a person in the community, we should seize it. And how much more those who we know in the church or in other churches who are our household of faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Look back at verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Yes, that doing good extends particularly to the pastors and teachers of your church. All these are ways of doing good and sowing seeds. Be thoughtful toward your leaders. And God has promised a good harvest. The more you take care of your leaders, the more they are encouraged to take care of you. So you see now, God has a wonderful plan, a law of the harvest. It all works out according to natural processes, which are also developed in the spiritual realm. The principles of involvement, don't stay on the sidelines. The principle of causality, you got to use good seed if you want a good crop. The principle of endurance, that is, you got to stay at it and not give up. The law of natural increase, it's going to be much more. The reward is much greater than what you put into it. And then the principle of diligence. Let us look carefully into our own hearts and ask the Lord to reveal clearly, what kind of seeds am I sowing? What kind of harvest am I already seeing come in? And let us pray that we will not be blinded to our own weaknesses or selfishness or self-centered attitudes. Let's be people who obey Jesus, who trust Him as Savior and Redeemer, who seek to be the people of God who look like Jesus to the watching world. Would you pray with me? Lord of heaven, thank you so much for providing for us a roadmap to a productive and fruitful and joyful life. Lord, more than anything else, we want to exalt your name, glorify your Son, and Lord, to sow seeds of righteousness and justice in our world, among our friends, and wherever you give us contacts and opportunity. So guide us for your namesake and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.